Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Youth. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Michelle Villanueva brings forth the Word of God.
That was beautiful. Well, my name is Pastor Michelle, in case you guys don't know who I am, but I'm Pastor Richard's wife, and I get to bring the Word tonight, so I'm excited. It's going to be good, good, good. Okay, so before we jump into it, I'm going to pray, but I also want to remind you guys that, hey, you know what, in the house of God, maybe you didn't realize it, but there are a couple rules that we have in the house of God. Did you guys know that? So we usually play them on a video and stuff, but number one is that when the preacher's up here talking, hey, you don't talk when the preacher's up here talking, because God's trying to talk to you. So you ought to listen up and hear what God is saying. Not that I'm God, but God is using me to speak to you. And then also, if you guys are dating, you know what? That's cool. I'm happy for you. But we don't need to see all that public displays of affection all up in church while we're trying to hear the Word of God. Okay, you guys can be dating outside of church, not in church. All right, and girls, you got to tell the guys, I'm glad you take me on a date to church, but you know, we need to go to some dinner, some movie, something like that. But, you know, and then what else? Texting. Hey, you know what's really cool is when you use your phone for the Bible apps and notes, but not for texting. If you want to pull out your phone right now and say that you're at the Rock, hey, that's cool, but not during the sermon. Okay, are you guys ready? Let's get into the Word tonight. By the way, if you can't tell, I'm totally 6 months pregnant. So I am like feeling like, woo. But you know what? Being 6 months pregnant is not going to stop me from bringing the Word tonight. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for the privilege of coming into your house. Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you. Holy Spirit, we want to know what you have for us. Open up our eyes. Open up our ears to your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so we are in week 3 of our stewardship series. And what that is we're talking about money. Everybody say money. Oh, no, you got to say it with some attitude. We are in the 909. Did you know that? You guys got to say it with some attitude. Everybody say money. Okay, we're talking about money because you know what? God is interested in money. Not just because you think that God wants your money, but hey, God gives you money. God blesses you, and he expects you to do something with it. So we ought to know what we should do with it, and we can go to the Word of God for that. But not only have we've been looking at the Word of God for 3 weeks, we've also been following a boy's life, a boy named Stuart. So as you remember, the past 2 weeks, he has had some drama in his life over some corn. You can count the kernels on a corn, but you cannot count the corn in the kernels. And so this is week 3. Let's go ahead and lower the lights and let's see what's happening in Stuart's life.
Things are looking up. This crop has really got me feeling good, and I mean good.
Good morning, Mr. Jenkins.
It's so strange seeing something grow that you planted. Lyle has been a true help. His knowledge in farming is amazing. It's as if anything he plants grows. He's a little weird, but I can see past that for now.
Whoa, look at your crop. It's almost harvest time. Let's see what you got.
It's perfect.
Wow. Well, what are you going to do with it?
I don't know. How much do you think we have?
Well, in time, I'd say probably get about hundreds.
Maybe thousands?
Thousands.
After the corn finally grew, I ended up taking home a few hundred that lasted all week. We had corn on the cob, corn bread, corn chowder, corn patties, corn chips, corn tortillas, and corn gumbo. But I still couldn't unload even a fraction of all this corn. What am I going to do with all this corn?
Hey, Becky.
Oh, hey, Stewie.
Are you okay?
With the recession, my dad lost his job. I had to go find work, and, well, I worked 20 hours, and it still wasn't enough. Now I have to go to the food bank.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Hey, you know what? Let me walk with you. We'll go to my church. They have this big warehouse, and they always love to help.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you so much. Her family is really going through a hard time right now.
That's what we're here for. God provides it through all of his servants and ministries and food banks.
Really? Do you guys ever need anything else, like corn?
Yes, always.
been an accident at the farm.
Drama. There's been an accident at the farm. So next week is the last week. We'll find out what happens, but doesn't look good for Stu. But moving on, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. I want to read you guys red letters. Jesus Christ is talking, and he's talking about money. If Jesus is talking about money, I want to know what he's saying. I want to know his wisdom. I want to know what he's talking about. And in Matthew 6, 19, this is what he says. And I want you guys, as I read this, and you read it for yourselves in your own Bibles. I hope you guys are bringing your own Bibles. I hope you guys are opening up your Bible apps on your phones. But look at it for yourself. And I want you to feel like Jesus is actually talking to you. Because when Jesus was talking to this group that he starts talking about, he's talking to his disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Yes, you are. If you are here in church, you believe in God, you're born again, then you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. So he's actually talking to you and I, and this scripture has been preserved for us. But in Matthew 6, verse number 19, it says this: Do not store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal them. Store yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Now here it gets a little interesting. He says, your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your body is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light that you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Jesus is going deep, okay? I'm going to explain that in just a minute. He says, now no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Everybody say boom. Jesus just brought it. Okay, maybe your translation is a little bit different, and it says God or mammon. Mammon is another word for a god, a little g god. Okay, our God is the big G God, right? And mammon is the little g god. And so then Jesus goes on, he says this: that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? And in your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store foods in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Then Jesus wraps it all up with this. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Jesus just said a ton of stuff right there in those verses. And I feel like there are five questions that Jesus kind of asks us in this scripture that we need to ask ourselves today. So are you guys ready? I have five questions for you to ask yourself. Number one is this: where do you spend your money? Where do you spend your money? You say, where did Jesus say that? He says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. How many people have jobs? You earn money. I want to see. Oh, we need to pray for jobs up in here. Okay. So wait, where do you work at? Where do you work at? In the back row. Yeah, uh-huh. What did she say? Ooh, that's a good job. In an office. That's good. Okay, I know one of our guys. He's 17 years old. He just got a job at KFC. Okay? He did not eat the bones. Praise the Lord. All right, but put a was with that ad, right? Okay. But, you know, some of you guys have jobs, and jobs, the time that you put in at your job equals the money. So money is pretty valuable. And how you decide to spend your money is even more important. So if you want to buy, let's say, do you spend your money on clothing? Anybody here go to Forever 21? Forever 21? Okay, how do you spend your money? We have some pictures up here. Forever 21. What about, I know the guys are really into that diamond clothing. I don't know much about it. I'm not a guy. But you guys are into the diamonds. The girls are into the real diamonds, okay? All right. what about, anybody buy Frappuccinos? You're there at happy hour, aren't you? Whoa. The congregation spoke, Lord. Okay. How about your iPhone or your Galaxy? Your data plan. That probably costs a little bit of money, right? What about guys? Do you spend some of your money on your girlfriend? Is that someone's girlfriend? Angel, that's your girl. Okay. All right. On your girlfriend? And if they don't, girls, turn next to them and say, "Oh, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is, son." Okay? I'm just kidding. Okay, I mean, there's so many places. Do we have any other pictures? I can't remember. Was there any other examples? No. Okay. There's so many things that we can spend our money on. But I think Jesus was telling them, just like back in the days, he was probably like, "What you spend your money on? Your tunic? You got your little burlap tunic going on? Your donkey? Got your little farm?" I don't know what they were into back then. Okay. But it's the same thing for us today. Where do we spend our money? Now, my next fun question for you is, do you give money to church? Do you give money to the kingdom of God? Now, God never is saying you absolutely have to give everything. In fact, he only asked for 10% and an offering. But church, if you don't give that 10% in your offering, then my question to you is, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Because God sees it all and God wants to bless you. But you know what? You need to start giving money to the kingdom of God, because he asks us to. Because it says in the word of God that when you give 10%, God's going to bless that 90%. You've got to ask yourself, where am I spending my money? You see, I talked about mammon in that verse when he was saying you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and you cannot serve mammon at the same time. You cannot serve money. You can't. And see, what money is going to try to tell you is that, well, you don't need to give to church because you love God. And if you love God, why does your money have to prove it? And my question to you is, if you love God, what does money matter? It's just money. And God gave it all to you anyways. Where do you spend your money? Question number one. Question number two is this. Is what are you focused on? What are you focused on? Let's read those scriptures again about the lamp and the eye and all that, because that's kind of a crazy scripture. It says, your eye is the lamp that provides light for the whole body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. But if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. What Jesus was saying is, what are you focused on? Light or dark? Money or God? Remember, he's talking about money. That's the focus here. Are you focused on money? Or are you focused on God? You see, this world we live in can have things backwards, where good is bad and bad is good. And sometimes we can trick ourselves into thinking, well, you know what? I don't need to give my money. The preachers are after my money. Listen, I don't touch your money. I don't smell your money. I don't count your money. I don't touch anything with your money. The money goes to feeding people. It goes around the world to missionary places. We are going to pay off this entire church building. It's going to be amazing. So don't try to convince yourself that giving is darkness when it's actually light. It's a good thing to give into church. It's a good thing to give into the kingdom of God. It's kind of like this. If I was, you know, where it says, And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. You see, we can have our thinking mixed up. And it's like this. If I were to say, let's go ahead and black out the lights. Black them out. Woo, it's bright in here. It is bright. Somebody give me my sunglasses. I need my blue blocker sunglasses. It is so bright. This is the light, people. This is the light. This is where it's at. Now, let's turn on all the lights. All the lights, all the lights, all the lights. It's dark. So dark. I can't see a thing. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm doing extremes here because I'm trying to show you that if you go by the world, if you go by the world's thinking, they're going to tell you the opposite of God. And they're going to tell you that you don't need God and God doesn't, you don't need God to bless your money. And you do. You do. And God does care about it. And your money, even though you may say, well, it's just so little. No, it's the heart of the matter. It's the heart of the matter. And see, if we listen to the world and what they say, in fact, I went on and Googled some lyrics to some songs, looked up some Nicki Minaj. If you like Nicki Minaj, bear with me. If you don't like Nicki Minaj, bear with me. But some of her songs are about money and a lot of bad words. And one of them was like, I'll have a baby by you, baby, if you a billionaire. Okay? Now, if you live by that lifestyle, you are looking at darkness. That is darkness. That is not the light of God. How about this one? I'm about my money, mama. Tell Michelle I got my eye on Barack Obama. Nikki, you can't be saying that stuff in a song, okay? That is looking at darkness. She said, left side of my closet, look invaded by Italy. Right side, Paris. Left side, flag and paper is. I don't know if I'm saying this right because I've never heard this song. Is main chick, me and money married. Okay, let's try. I don't know. But again, the whole focus of this song is money and clothes and everything else. And, you know, I even looked up a Drake song. Okay. Now, I'm not trying to hate. I don't even listen to these people. But this is what you guys are listening to all the time. And Drake has a song called Money to Blow. He's talking about how he drinks champagne. And he does, that's all his little diet of champagne. And since I got famous, bleep, I got money to blow. Okay? And so here are these songs wrapped around how they can waste money, what they're wearing, what they're eating, what they're drinking. And let's just read again what Jesus said. Can we just go back to the Word of God and get healthy up in here? It says, so don't worry about these things. What will we eat? What will we drink? Drake, with your champagne and your limo. Okay, what will we wear? Nikki, on the left side and the right side of your closet. All right? I mean, really, Jesus is bringing it all back to the light. What are we focused on? Is it about the closet? Is it about the closet, church? No. Okay, let's try that again. Is it about your closet? Is it about your Frappuccinos? Is it about your Chipotle? Okay, I heard a yes. I know the barbacoa is good. I know. Okay, but it's not. We've got to stay focused. And if you let the world run your relationship with God, you will not have a relationship with God for very long. And yes, money is involved with that. We don't buy our salvation. We don't buy God's love. But you know what? Because God loves me and I love God, then I'm going to give to him. That's the truth. The God truth. Money does not make this world go round. But you know what? The money lie sure does want me to believe that. The money lie wants you to believe that the only way you're going to get out of where you're living now, your neighborhood, maybe your family's always been poor, whatever it is. Hey, listen, I grew up poor. You know, I joke with Richard, you know, we have to take our kids to the doctors and we get medication, you know, for them, for earaches and whatever. And I don't throw it away. You know, you're supposed to throw it away. Richard's like, why don't you throw it away? I was like, but what if we need it later? He's like, Michelle, you can't do that. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, because you grew up with insurance, okay? Because I didn't grow up with insurance. There was no Obamacare for me, all right? And so that's just what we did. Grandma, we need some penicillin. She said, honey, come on over, okay? That's how we lived. And maybe that's how you live. I remember my friend, you know, you don't know you're poor. All your friends grow up poor. And then when you get older, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I was poor. That's just how we live. But I remember we'd have to go to the outlet stores and get clothing, and we'd have to buy winter clothes in the summertime because that was what was on sale. So my friend's mom would have to take these long sleeves. It's 100 degrees outside, and she would sew her clothes to make them short sleeves and tank tops and stuff. Listen, sometimes that's how people have to live, but you don't have to live like that for your whole life. And don't let money make you think that you have to bow down to that. You make money work for you. You serve God. You give to God, and I guarantee you he will get you out of that. So number two, what are you focused on? Number three, question. Do you serve God or do you serve money? Do you serve mammon? Do you serve God or do you serve mammon? You see, Pastor Deborah, our senior pastor, she had mentioned this. She said, mammon is a God that wants us to bow and wants to rule us until we understand the true riches of heaven. Until you understand what true riches are, until you understand that money fades away and we are all going to live this life and die one day, and you're not going to take your car that you worked so hard to get. You're not going to take your diamond clothing. Okay. You're not going to take your iPhone with you. That's not going to happen. You're going to go to heaven and it's just going to be you and Jesus. And there you're going to realize the true riches, salvation, mercy, grace, peace, love. You're going to find that stuff there. But until you realize that, you will be serving money and you'll be serving mammon. You see, there's those moments in your life. Have you ever just felt greedy? I mean, let's just be honest. I felt greedy. How about around Christmas time? It's like, I don't want to buy you a present. I see you once a year at Christmas time. How convenient, cousin. Okay. And now I got to buy you a present. I feel greedy sometimes. It just happens. All right. But you have to fight that greed. You really do. You have to come against it. It's a principle of God like anything else. Listen. Let's just take this to a different arena here. I got my couch here. You guys ever fall asleep on the couch? You got your dinosaur blanket from when you were like 4 years old. All right. Fall asleep. You got your little stuffy you don't tell nobody about. Your little stuffy. You fall asleep. You know, you're watching a show, a relaxing show like The Walking Dead. Something like that. You fall asleep. It's 2 a.m. and you hear the wind. And you start to tell yourself, I gotta get to my bed. But it sounds scary out there. And you swear you saw something moving in the window. What do you do? What do you guys do? This is what you do. You get up and you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm gonna look out that window. And you make yourself look out the window. You say, why do I do that, Pastor Michelle? Because if you're afraid, you need to fight fear. You don't let fear rule your life. Okay, how about this one? It's 2 a.m. again. You got to go potty. Got to go potty. You go potty. But then you're like, I swear something is behind the shower curtain. What do you do? Some of you don't even go potty. You're like, I'll just hold it. Okay? No. You need to fight against that. You rip open that shower curtain and you see that there is nothing there. Because listen, If you don't fight fear, then fear is going to run your life. If you don't fight greed with a generous attitude, then greed is going to run your life. What does Jesus say about our enemies? What does Jesus say about our enemies? What does he say about it? We're supposed to love our enemies. You see, everything with the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world is completely opposite. The way that you fight the world is by doing the godly thing. And if you have a greedy attitude, then you know what you need to do. You need to suck it up. And you know what, cousin? I'm going to buy you the best Christmas present you ever seen. Okay? I mean, you just do that because you fight it. That way money doesn't rule over you. You rule over the money. You've got to do that. You know, my daughter, I have a picture real quick I want to show you. My daughter is 4 years old, and Richard was working. We were at home all day, so my kids were all going kind of crazy. So I decided, what a great idea. I'll just take them to Fiesta Village. Okay, so I take them to Fiesta Village, and there's the big slide. Have you guys seen the big slide? Yeah. Okay. Seems easy enough. So I have my three-year-old and my four-year-old, and they're like, I want to ride that, mommy. I'm like, okay, I'm 6 months pregnant. This will be fun. Okay? So then we go up there, and my three-year-old is like, woo! And we go down there. We go down the slide. Well, I look back, and the four-year-old is still at the top of the slide. So my daughter, Bella, is scared. She's scared to death now. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm at Fiesta Village by myself. I'm like, hey, stranger, could you just watch my three-year-old? I'm going to go. And I run. 6 months pregnant, run up those stairs to get my daughter. I'm like, okay, let's go down together. And she's like, no, I'm scared. So then I'm like, oh my gosh. So then we do the walk of shame. You know, we walk down the slide instead of, you know, going down the slide. And then we get down there and she's like, hey, mommy, I want to try it. I'm like, what? You want to try it? So I'm like, okay, let's just try it again. There's not very many people here. Let's just try this again. So she goes up there and there's these older kids. And I'm like, can she go with you? Because if she goes with them, she'll probably do it. So then they're like, yeah, sure. So they go up there and I'm watching and they come down and she's still up there. And I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do here? Right? My calves are like on fire from running, sprinting up there. And so anyway, she goes up there for, you know, she's up there for about 30 seconds and then she finally comes down. And so I took a picture of her. I don't know if we have it up there, but if not, that's okay. Oh, there she is. That's her. And that's her actually coming down. So when she came down, I was like, that is so awesome, honey. I am so proud of you. That is so cool. She's like, mom, did you hear me talking up there? I'm like, no, I didn't hear you talking. She's like, oh, mom, I faced fear off. I said, you did? And this is a four-year-old talking. It's not like I have fear talks with her. Like, come on, honey, we got to beat fear up. Okay. She's like, no, I faced fear off and I was talking to fear and I was saying, you know, I'm just going to go down this slide. You see, you guys, that's a four-year-old's mind. How much more can you and I do for the kingdom of God if we would get that attitude about fear, about greed, about love, right? You need to face fear off, face greed off. So let's see, number four, let's go ahead and go to the next one. Number four question is, do you worry about money? Do you worry about money? Jesus, when he was talking, do you worry about money? You see, Jesus was talking about worry because daily we worry about stuff. Daily we think about, where are we going to go have lunch? Daily. And it's not wrong to do that. It's not wrong. But when you start to worry about it and it starts to consume you, that's when it gets wrong. Because Jesus also goes on to talk about the birds and the flowers and how God takes care of them. And if he'll take care of them, he's going to take care of you. Because you are much more valuable than those. You see, when we start to worry, we start to get into fear and we get out of faith. And when you start to worry, it shows me, and I realize in myself, that you know what? I'm not really trusting God with my money. I'm not really trusting God with my life. I'm not really trusting God because I'm letting worry come in. You see, worry is mammon and money's greatest recruit. Because if money can make you worry about everything all the time, that's all you think about, then it's going to get you out of church. It's going to get you out of faith. And it's going to get you out of God. And you've got to face that and realize that, you know what? The truth is that you are valuable. The truth is that God loves you. The truth is that he's going to take care of you because you are his son, because you are his daughter. And he will not let you go hungry. He will not let you go homeless. He will not let you go naked to school, okay? You're going to be okay. He's going to take care of you. And then question number five, the last one is this. Question number five is, do you have faith in the Father? Do you trust God? Do you really trust him? You know, are you really trusting him with that 10%? Are you holding on to it? You know, there's a story in the Bible, and I'll just paraphrase it because I'm going to wrap it up right here. But in Matthew 21, or 19, verse number 21, there's a guy, and he's called the rich young ruler. He was a young, rich man. And he goes up to Jesus, and he starts asking him questions about heaven. And Jesus is like, okay, well, have you kept all the commandments? He said, oh yeah, I've kept them since I was a boy. I've kept them since I was young. And he was bragging about how he's been keeping all these commandments. And if we could just have those verses up there, I want to read what Jesus tells him. And Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And so here was this guy trying to brag about how he's the most godliest, how he's followed every single commandment and never broke it, which is impossible. And Jesus was like, fine, let's put your money where your mouth is. Go sell everything.